This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne, because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to re-anchor mid-negotiation when talks stall. Regain control of a stalled negotiation with a new anchor point. In short, when a negotiation stalls, your original anchor has lost its pull. Re-anchoring is the skill of deliberately placing a new reference point that resets the conversation and restores movement, without throwing away the ground you have already covered. A new anchor only holds if you give it a reason to hold context, data, or reframe scope. The timing of a re-anchor matters as much as the number itself. Done well, re-anchoring feels like progress to both sides, not like backtracking. Definition: re-anchoring mid-negotiation is the deliberate act of introducing a new reference point after talks has stalled or drifted, replacing an anchor that has lost its grip. It resets the psychological center of the negotiation and restores forward movement without abandoning the deal. I watched a colleague lose a contract once, not because the price was wrong, not because the client was unreasonable. He lost it because the conversation had drifted so far from his opening position that neither side knew where they stood anymore, and he did not know how to re-anchor mid-negotiation before the silence became a no. He kept waiting for the other side to move. They kept waiting for him. The original anchor, the number he had placed at the start, had been eroded by 3 rounds of small concessions until it meant nothing. He had no system for resetting the reference point, so the negotiation died of inertia. Most stalls are not caused by a bad deal. They are caused by an anchor that has lost its grip. When talks stop moving, the instinct is to offer more, concede faster, or simply wait. None of those work. What works is placing a new anchor, with intention, at the right moment, with the right framing. This article gives you the exact process for doing that. Why anchoring stalls are harder to fix than they look. The original anchor you set at the start of a negotiation does real psychological work. It establishes the reference point against which every subsequent number is judged. When it holds, the other side is always negotiating toward your position, even when they push back. But anchors weaken. After enough counteroffers and back and forth, the original number stops feeling like the center of gravity. Both sides have moved, the target has blurred, and the zone of possible agreement has become unclear. You feel it as stagnation. Here is the problem with trying to re-anchor at that point: the other side has already invested time and energy in the current range. A new reference point feels like a disruption to them, potentially like bad faith. If you simply drop a new number without context, you risk damaging the trust you have built across the conversation. The skill is not placing a new anchor. The skill is placing one in a way that the other side can accept without feeling manipulated. That requires preparation, timing, and the right words. What you need before you re-anchor. 2 things must be in place before you attempt to reset the reference point, or the move will backfire. A clear reason for the shift. A new anchor without a rationale looks like desperation. You need a genuine basis for introducing a different reference point, new information, a change in scope, a reframing of what is being exchanged. If you cannot name that reason clearly, do not re-anchor yet. A read on why the talk stalled. Not all stalls are the same. Some happen because the other side has a constraint they have not named. Some happen because your original anchor was too far from the reservation price to be credible. Some happen because the conversation has drifted into the wrong territory entirely. The re-anchoring method you use depends on the specific cause of the stall. If you skip these 2 steps and move straight to a new number, you're guessing. Sometimes guessing works, but a clear diagnosis and a solid rationale give you a system, not a gamble. How to re-anchor mid-negotiation. A 6-step process. Step 1. Name the stall directly. Before you place any new anchor, acknowledge that the conversation has stopped moving. Most negotiators try to paper over a stall with optimistic language. That prolongs it. Say something direct. We have been going back and forth on this for a while, and I do not think we are getting closer. I want to try something different. This small move does 2 things. It signals that you're paying attention, and it creates permission for a reset without making the other side offensive. Do not apologize for the stall. Do not assign blame. Simply name what is happening, plainly, and without drama. Step 2. Pause the number and widen the frame. Once you have named the stall, step back from the specific number or term that has become the sticking point. The stall usually lives in a narrow band of price, a deadline, a particular condition. Widen the frame before you introduce a new anchor. Try this. Before we keep pushing on the fee, let me make sure I understand what you are actually trying to solve here. Then listen. What you hear in the next 2 minutes will tell you whether the original anchor was in the wrong currency entirely, whether the other side cares about something you've not yet offered. This step connects directly to the work of understanding what the other side values before reframing your position. It is the same principle behind the empathy bridge technique: understand the world before you try to change it. Step 3. Introduce new information or reframe the scope. This is where the new anchor gets its legitimacy. A re-anchor is credible when it comes attached to something the conversation has not yet accounted for. New information might be a cost you've not disclosed, a timeline constraint that has changed, or a comparable deal in the market. Reframing the scope might mean bundling something new into the offer, removing a component that was inflating the price, or splitting the deal into phases. You might say, since we last talked, I've had a chance to look more carefully at the implementation timeline you need. Given that, I think we should be talking about a different starting point. Then place your new anchor. Give it the specific number or term clearly, not as a question, and not as an offer subject to immediate revision. Step 4. Anchor high enough to leave room. The new anchor must be placed with enough distance from your actual target to allow for the concessions that will follow. This is bracketing your anchor sits above your target so that when you move toward the other side, you land where you need to. Many people weaken their new anchor because the stall has made them anxious. They set the new reference point too close to their reservation price, leaving themselves no room. That is the same mistake as anchoring too modestly at the start. Place the new anchor with confidence. A tentative anchor signals that you do not believe in it. The other side will sense that immediately and push harder. Step 5. Give the other side a path to move. A new anchor that leaves the other side nowhere to go just creates a new stall. After you set the reference point, offer a conditional path forward. This is not a concession. It is an invitation to move together. Try. I am placing this here because of the scope we just discussed. If there are elements on your side that change the picture, I'm genuinely open to hearing them. What would make this work for you? This keeps the new anchor in place while signaling that you're not issuing an ultimatum. The core framework is worth knowing here. It helps you stay grounded when the other side responds to your new anchor with pressure or frustration, which they often will. Step 6. Hold the anchor under pressure. The new anchor will be tested. The other side will push back, express surprise, or simply go quiet. Your job in this moment is not to fill the silence with a concession. Hold the position. Restate the rationale calmly. I understand that is different from where we were. It reflects the full picture as I now understand it. Then stop talking. The negotiator, who speaks first after placing an anchor, is usually the one who weakens it. If the pressure is significant and you feel the conversation deteriorating, the deal method gives you a clear framework for managing that kind of standoff without losing the thread of the deal. We're anchoring in remote and async negotiations. The six-step process above assumes a real-time conversation. Remote and asynchronous negotiations, common in distributed teams and global procurement, change two things significantly. First, you cannot read the other side's body language when your new anchor lands. You lose the microsignals that tell you whether they're considering it or rejecting it. To compensate, build more context into the written or spoken delivery of your new anchor. A two-sentence rationale in a face-to-face meeting becomes a short paragraph in an email, not because you're over-explaining, but because the other side has no vocal tone or expression to interpret. Second, async negotiations move slowly and stalls can become invisible. You may not realize the conversation has stalled until several days have passed. When you re-anchor in writing, make the reset explicit. I want to suggest we approach this from a different angle before we continue. That phrase does the same work as naming the stall in a live conversation. For remote teams, where tension has built up across the stall period, the word-for-word scripts for de-escalating tension with a colleague can help you calibrate the language of your re-anchoring message so it lands as a reset, not an escalation. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong when they try to re-anchor. The mistake: dropping a new number without any explanation. Why it happens: the negotiator is anxious and wants to break the stall quickly. What to do instead? Always pair the new anchor with a clear rationale. Even one sentence of context makes the difference between a reset and a confrontation. The mistake: moving the anchor in the wrong direction, toward the other side, because the stall feels like a signal to concede. Why it happens: silence and resistance feel like rejection, so the instinct is to soften. What to do instead? Diagnose the stall before you move anything. A stall caused by a scope misunderstanding requires a reframe, not a price reduction. The mistake: re-anchoring too many times, so the reference point loses all credibility. Why it happens: the negotiator treats re-anchoring as a general tactic rather than a specific intervention. What to do instead? Re-anchor once, deliberately, with a clear reason. If the new anchor also fails to hold, the problem is likely not the anchor. It is the deal structure or the relationship. The mistake: setting the new anchor too close to your reservation price. Why it happens? The stall has created anxiety, and the negotiator wants to close quickly. What to do instead? Place the anchor high enough to allow for movement. Bracket your target point the same way you would at the opening of any negotiation. If a stall has damaged the relationship itself, not just the deal, you may need to address the relational breakdown before any re-anchoring will work. The bridge method is built exactly for that situation. Your pre-move checklist for re-anchoring mid-deal. Use this before you place a new anchor. Run through each item in order. Number 1. Have I named the stall? If not, do that first. A reset without acknowledgement feels like a non sequitur. Number 2. Do I know why the talk stalled? Identify whether the cause is a scope misunderstanding, a credibility gap in the original anchor, or a constraint on their side. Number 3. Do I have a rationale for the new anchor? New information, changed scope, or reframed value exchange? Name it clearly before you speak. Number 4. Is my new anchor far enough from my target to allow movement? If the gap between your new anchor and your reservation price is less than 15%, you're anchoring too close. Number 5. Have I prepared for the silence after I place it? Know what you will say if they push back hard. Have a one-sentence restatement ready. Number 6. Is the relationship stable enough to absorb a reset? If trust is already damaged, address that first. If you're managing that situation with a manager who is dismissing the problem, the value method gives you a structured way to do that. When the re-anchor itself goes wrong. Sometimes you re-anchor and it makes things worse. The other side reads it as bad faith. The temperature in the room rises. The deal feels further away than it did before the stall. That is not the end. It is a recoverable position, but only if you act quickly and honestly. Name what happened. I can see that landed badly, and I want to understand why. Then listen without defending. The recover method gives you a clear sequence for repairing a conversation that has gone further south than you intended. The truth is, this re-anchoring is a precision move, done with preparation and clear rationale. It is one of the most powerful tools in any negotiation. Done impulsively, it can collapse a deal that was closer to resolution than it appeared. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to re-anchor mid-negotiation? To re-anchor mid-negotiation means to deliberately introduce a new reference point during talks that have stalled or drifted in the wrong direction. It shifts the psychological center of gravity in the negotiation, moving both parties away from a position that is blocking progress. How do you re-anchor mid-negotiation without damaging trust? You re-anchor by introducing new information, reframing the value being exchanged, or naming the stall directly before offering a new position. Pairing the new anchor with a clear rationale prevents it from feeling like a sudden reversal and keeps the other side engaged rather than defensive. When should you re-anchor in a negotiation? Re-anchor when talks have been stuck on the same position for two or more exchanges, when the conversation has drifted toward terms you cannot accept, or when the original anchor has lost its pull and neither side is moving toward agreement. What is anchoring in negotiation, and why does it matter? Anchoring in negotiation is the practice of placing an opening number or position that shapes how all subsequent offers are evaluated. The first credible number sets the psychological reference point, so whoever controls the anchor often controls the range in which the deal eventually lands. Can you re-anchor if you made the first offer? Yes, if your first anchor failed to hold, you can introduce a new reference point by bringing fresh information to the table, reframing what is being exchanged, or widening the scope of the deal. The key is to give the other side a reason to recalibrate, not just a new number. What is the biggest mistake people make when re-anchoring? The most common mistake is moving to a new anchor without explanation. When you drop a new number without context, the other side reads it as desperation or bad faith. Always pair a new anchor with a reasoned new data, a changed scope, or an honest naming of what has shifted. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.